Church. My name is Caleb.
And I'm Ava.
We're so glad you decided to be with us here at church today. Ava, what do we have coming up?
Here at Only Believe, we pray first. And that is why we gather on the first Saturday and the third Thursday of each month. First Saturday prayer is a time where we gather together and pray both personally and corporately, worship, and hear an encouraging word. Thursday prayer is an hour prayer in the youth sanctuary from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. So come expect it, and we cannot wait to pray with you.
Join us for a healing night on September 27th at 6 p.m. This will be a powerful evening of prayer, faith, and restoration. So come expecting as we gather together in unity, believing that God still moves in healing power. And we encourage you to start praying now, praying for hearts to be opened, bodies to be healed, and lives to be changed. And whether you're standing in the gap for someone else or believing for a miracle yourself, this night is for you. So come expectant, come ready, and come believe.
Hey everybody, it's Andrew. I want to let you know about a special event coming up September 25th to the 26th. Just 2 days where we're going to take for a father-son camp out. We're going to have lots of things going on. We've got basic survival training. We've got campfire, s'mores, all the awesome things we love to do when we're camping, but we've also got a spiritual emphasis as well. Pastor Randy's leading us in how to be a godly man, and then we've also got a special guest that's going to be doing praise and worship around the campfire. Again, this is for fathers and sons, nephews and uncles. Maybe there's somebody in your life that's just very special you want to take on a camping adventure. Get away from the screens. Just take some time to enjoy what God has created. So we hope to see you there. You can register using the QR code. If you have any questions, ask myself or Pastor Tim.
Operation Christmas Child is here, and this is your opportunity to make a lasting impact. We're inviting every family to pack a box full of toys, hygiene products, and school supplies. These are more than just gifts. These shoeboxes are a way to spread the gospel and the love of Jesus to children all around the world. Shoeboxes are available in the lobby for just $1, and you can come and return your already packed shoebox anytime between now and November 8th. Not able to pack a box? Well, you can still make a difference by giving a donation. Every dollar goes towards supplies for our packing party, where we will come together and pack even more shoeboxes for all the kids around the world. Together, let's share the gospel one box at a time. And don't forget about our packing party on November 8th. We cannot wait to see you there.
Fall small group signups are now open. We believe small groups are one of the best ways to find freedom through meaningful relationships and spiritual growth. Small groups meet on Wednesday nights during service, making it easy to get connected and to grow alongside others. So to sign up and to see all the available groups, you can scan the QR code on the screen, head to the Church Center app, or head out to the Welcome Center in the lobby, and our team will help you out there. We can't wait to see what God does in this next semester of fall small groups.
And if you have questions about groups, events, or ways to get connected here at Only Believe, you can head right on out to the Welcome Center in the lobby and get all of your questions answered. Now, let's prepare our hearts and our minds as we dive into God's Word today.
Only Believe Church, I call you the greatest church in America. Is that not amazing? That's who you are. You want to know, we are proud of you. We love you. We are so thankful that we get to be the pastors of a church that hears the word and does the word. I see you, Pastor Randy sees you, our staff sees you out and about loving in communities. It might not even be Serve Week, but you're still serving in your local communities. You're still loving. You're sharing the gospel with people. We hear these life-giving stories, and we are so proud of you for living your life out loud for Jesus. And I just want you to know that. I don't think we say it enough. We think you're the best. Okay, just so you know. Now, before we get your heads all up in the sky, let's pray. Let's humble ourselves. Amen? Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. And God, we as a congregation come to you today, Father, submitting our hearts and our minds to you. In fully surrendering who we are, God, we drop down our thought patterns and our way of thinking. And Father, we say, break up those places that can't hear. Break up those places that we've reserved and kept away from you. Father, today we bring you into those dry places, and we ask you, Lord, to let your word work. Do what it can do. Holy Spirit, have your way in our lives and lead us today into true transformation. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, so our series this month is on identity. As we continue this week, I would like you to continue today with this thought in your mind. Who am I? Maybe right now you want to write down like the first word that come to your mind. Who are you? Who am I? Just jot it down. Just jot it down. Who am I? Because you have an internal thought of who you are. You have a voice inside of your head, your conscience. And then you have the Spirit of the Lord telling you who you are. I'm Nicole Dosick. That's who I was first. And I'm the daughter of Peter and Phyllis Dosick. But I'm the wife of Randy Waters.
Amen to that.
I'm the mother of three amazing children who all do their part in this life and are almost all living and on their own, which is amazing. And I'm Gigi to two beautiful granddaughters. That's a part of my identity, but it's not the soulness of my identity. There's much more to that. Yes, I'm one of the senior pastors at Only Believe. Yes, I work in the office here, and there's a certain thing that I do. There's certain things that I do outside of the church. All these make me who I am. You could say I'm a scrapbooker, even though I only do it once a year. I'm still a scrapbooker, right? Why? I enjoy that. It's a part of who I am, but it doesn't dictate everything about my life. Let's talk about what identity is, because the word identity simply means it's the sameness of an essential character or oneness with something or someone. This is why my mother would often say when my father's alive, there's no way that your father could ever deny you as his child. And I said, why? She said, because you're the same person. Even though we're not the same person, he was a male, I'm a female. Why? Because there was a sameness about our personalities. There were times that I would find myself doing the exact same thing that my father did. I'm like, why are you doing that? Stop it. There's things with my mother that I do. We drive the exact same way. The exact same way. Why? Because it's a model behavior. There's a sameness. There's this identity that connects her and him to me because I'm their daughter. You are the same way. See, I have a family identity, but I have a newfound identity. When I gave my life to Christ at 5 years old, off of a television on the 700 Club with Ben Kinslow, some of you know my story. When I did that, my life and my identity forever changed. Forever changed. Because when I invited Christ in, he began to do a work in me. He did away with the old 5 years of my life, all that sinful nature, all that dirtiness, and turned me into something new and something perfect in his eyes. This new creation that had found life in him. I want to remind you, Pastor Randy started out with this scripture. We're going to continue in it. Go to 2 Corinthians, turn your Bible today. To the 5th chapter, the 17th and the 18th verse. It says, therefore, if anyone, say anyone.
Anyone.
Doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter where you've come from, doesn't matter the color of your skin, how much money you make, the size, where you live, the ghetto or the high rise. It doesn't matter. Anyone is in Christ. That means when you accept Christ as your personal Savior, the new creation has come. The old has gone, and the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. I want you to notice the biggest word about that is has come. The old has gone and the new has come. Not have come, not is coming, not on its way, but has come. Now, you and I, as a believer in Christ, if we're going to walk in this identity, then in order to live in the has come, then we have to have faith in the right now. Faith says that though I can't see it right now, I believe it. Do you see Jesus in this room? Do you? Anybody see Jesus right now in this room? Literally Jesus in this room. Do you see him? No. Well, how do you know he exists? Because you just know. Because you have faith to know. Why? Because God gave you a seed to believe in your heart in the Son of God, in Jesus. You and I are here today, and if we have to see what we believe to know it's true, then we should all just go home. I don't see Jesus walking around with me, yet I still believe it. So do you and I, the first choice in our identity is we must believe that it has come. And by faith, we keep walking as if it's completed. See, some of us think completion means you have it. Some of us think that you have to be fully free from pain to believe that you have been healed. That's not true. Some of them were healed as they went. Faith is seeing, believing even though you don't see what's happening. Faith is believing even though you don't feel like you are new. You feel guilty. You feel condemned about how you lived your life. It hurts you that you hurt others when you weren't following Christ. Some of us hurt because we've hurt others while following Christ. Come on. Don't act like you're all perfect church on me, because I know you're not, because I'm not. Sometimes we do some things that we feel bad for. But because I believed in this new life, because I believed in Christ, I received a new identity. Now I get a choice. Either I'm going to live like I am in the new identity, or I'm going to live like I'm in my old one. But you have to choose, because a man that doesn't and he wavers in his faith, he's wavering in everything that he does. Everything he does. So we've got to make a choice. Either we're new or we're going to remain old. I don't know about you. I would love to be made new. Amen. That comes through our salvation. Now, because I'm a daughter, and because I'm a wife, and because I'm a mother, when you put on this new identity, when you put away the old person, and the new has arrived, it doesn't change the fact that I'm a daughter. It doesn't change the fact that I'm a wife. It simply means that because I now believe in Christ, I've received a different identity. So now when I'm a daughter in my new identity. I'm a wife out of my new identity. I'm a Gigi and a mother out of my identity. What does that mean? It means that up out of Christ comes every response I have. It means that when I'm mother in Christ. It means when I'm a wife and I want to literally wring my husband's neck, that I am a wife in Christ. Therefore, it changes me. Because if I'm really walking in the sameness and the oneness with God, then I can't help but wring my husband's neck, because God's not asking me to. He's saying, I'm the Holy Spirit and I will wring it for you. Ladies, you didn't see that coming, did you? See, when I'm surrendered to Christ, my marriage is in Christ. When I'm surrendered to Christ, my children are in Christ's hands. Therefore, I'm not trying to take it back every second. Therefore, I'm not trying to make my husband into what I want him to become. I'm simply keeping my eyes focused on the Lord, that I can become what he needs me to be, so that my husband can be the man that God's called him to be. And he's simply trying to be the man that God's called him to be, so that I can be the woman that God's called me to be. Do you see how that works? Out of his identity, once you became born again, everything flows. And if it's not, then your identity by faith has to be persevered with. You have to grab on to the identity in those places that you find yourself falling short, saying, God, I need to know more in order to understand. Let's go to Ephesians, the fourth chapter, the 21st and the 24th verse. This is really good. It says, since you have heard about Jesus and you have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by the lust and by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature. Put on your new identity. Put on Christ and be created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Learned the truth. See, when you and I come up against these identity struggles and we keep seeing ourselves not succeed in an area, then we have to go to the scripture to find out what it says. Because when we learn of who Christ is, then will we understand the sameness that we were created to be. But if all we do is accept the identity that we have that is imperfect, it will never be full and complete. But when we put on that new identity, do you really? If you couldn't put it on, that means you can take it off. That means when no one's looking, you could really run your marriage amok. Why? Because you put on what you want and you take it off when you don't want. Did you hear me? By the way, that's a lack of integrity. That's a lack of integrity. When you and I profess that we are Christians and that we walk in the attributes and the love of God, yet then we go home and we literally terrorize our marriage with our mouth. We terrorize our relationships because of what we speak when nobody's watching. We terrorize situations and members of the body of Christ when we let this tongue begin to speak evil. Evil in our situation. When God's calling us to live out those relationships through him, through Christ, can you see it in the sameness, in the oneness that Christ sees the relationship? Because if you do, you're not going to be treating your spouse like that. You're not going to be treating your best friend like that. You're not going to let your best friend hear the spew up of what you think and how you got to go through every sister's problem and every brother Kadiddle's problem in the church. And once you've done that, well, now it's time's over because we don't have any more time. You don't have any more time because all you did was talk about people. The Bible tells you to talk about the things of God. If you don't have nothing to talk about, open your Bible and leave it on the table. I challenge you. Leave an open Bible on your table. And when your friends come over and they want to talk about nothing except people, say, you know, what does Corinthians, the third chapter, the 14th verse say? Either they're going to be friends of the word and the scripture, or they're going to dart out so fast you couldn't even let the coffee get cold. You want to know why? Because they have a motive when they come to be your friend. And it's to simply talk about other people in the sake of saving and fixing the world. Don't do it. Don't let people steal your peace. When we believe in Christ and we receive this new identity, it's not okay that you just say you have it. If you say you have it and you really believe it, then believing requires action. Did you hear that? Believing requires action. Therefore, I must act new. I must put on this new way of living in order to truly be like Christ. Let's 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter, the 16th verse. I'm going to reference it for time. It says, do not lose heart, even though our outward man is wasting away. It's dying. Every single day, this man is dying. You don't believe it? Take a picture from when you're 19 to where you are now, and you'll see you are dying. Trust me, it's not pretty. It's not pretty. Sometimes I look in the mirror and I think, oh, who is that? Because I've changed. There's sometimes I've looked at those pictures and my hair was really bad and I thought, what were you thinking? Do you guys have those moments? Yeah, my graduation picture, it's terrible. Whew. Anyways, it says, our outward man is wasting away, but our inward man is being renewed day by day. Now look, let me prove something to you. How can you be renewed if you were never made new? You can't. You can't re something if it hasn't been done the first time. So for those of you that say that, no, Pastor Cole, you don't understand. My old man is still alive. I'm working through this new man. No, you're not. You have been made new. If you hadn't been made new, you can't be renewed. What it's saying is that your newness can be tempted and pushed by the devil. And the old man can try to put itself back on you. But if you will renew your mind daily, day by day, then the old man stays at bay. But if you don't, the old man can get a grip back into the new man's world. Does that make sense? You can't be renewed if you weren't truly made new by Christ. Now you've been made new. And by faith, we walk through that. Faith doesn't deny that we haven't been made new or that the old man isn't trying to creep in. It's believing the word of God above our circumstance. In spite of, and I just use our marriage because I'm right here with Randy. If our marriage is nothing more than the old man living and never having got in, I'm not going to deny that there are mornings when Happy Bird wakes up and wants to talk that Miss Quiet Bird does not want to talk. Leave me alone till I have my coffee and about an hour and a half in, we'll talk. But he wakes up, like at night, he comes up with all these ideas, I don't know. And then he wants to talk them out in the morning. He wants to talk them out in the morning. And I'm like, I really don't want to talk them out in the morning, but my old man is really fighting to say, why do we have to talk about this early? But I know that he's thinking, I'm in the shower, she's doing her hair, this is a great time to talk. Sometimes those talks don't last. They don't end the right way because I'm already frustrated that he wants to talk in the morning. So I've already come into this relationship in frustration in the morning because you don't know that I don't want to talk. We've been married for 35 plus years. Why are we talking in the morning? I know this sounds crazy. I'm not denying that my old man is present. What I'm saying is that I am lining up with the agreement of the Word of God that says that in all things, I give thanks. In all things, I'm thankful my husband can talk in the morning. I'm thankful that my husband desires to share hard things that I have to fix before my prayer life at 7:30 in the morning. I'm so thankful that my husband thinks that I am ready and raring to go in the morning. When really, I'm not. My old man wants to rise up and really put pressure to the point, why are we doing this now? But the new man says that I don't live to please myself, that I live to die for my husband, to lay my life down for him, and that I'm willing to hear and listen and give weight to. But what I've realized is that God told me the other day, he said, you don't have to fix anything in the morning. All you have to do is listen. What is that? I am aligning myself in agreement with God's word. I'm not denying that there's not an old man problem. There is a whole lot of old man Nikki in there in the morning that does not want to talk. But what I'm saying is I'm willing to lay down my life because I love that man. And in the morning, he needs to talk before his day gets done because he don't pray like I pray. He don't pray with nothing in there but just me and Jesus. He prays with, he's got to get all that out before he can pray. But I have the ability to take all of that and put it over here and shut the door and go, let's go. I know that sounds like a really simple explanation, but it's so true because I'm not denying that my old man is present. I'm choosing to live in agreement with God's word that says, I live out of the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 2:20. I live out of kindness, patience, love, joy, peace. I'm the one who's long-suffering. I'm the one who's going to do the changing. Why? Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Christ in me is where I live my marriage. Christ in me is where I work with my children. Christ in me is where I have relationships and friendships. Because if it was in Nikki, it would be terrible. But it's out of him I live those places. When you live in agreement with God's word, hear me. When you live in agreement with it and you don't deny your actual problems, you live in agreement. That is faith. And faith says, in spite of what I'm seeing in my life, I'm going to choose to believe that God is bigger than what I'm seeing and what I'm feeling. And he's doing a work in me. And because of that, and because of my identity in Christ and my sameness in someone, which is Christ, because of that, I'm being governed by him. My speech is being governed. My actions are being governed. My reactions are being governed in the morning. So I have the ability to do things that I don't want to do. Can I just say that? Some of our personalities are really big. Some of our personalities are really strong. And some of you don't want to give in to the Spirit. Some of you think that being right, some of you think that fighting, some of you think that it's a matter of principle. Yeah, probably is. Probably is. But let me tell you where you're going. You're going into a loss of identity, and you're going to go further than you want to go. You're going to stay there longer than you want to stay, and your family and your relationships are going to pay more than you want to pay because of your hardness that will not become what Christ needs it to become in order that the relationship can succeed. Every friendship, every marriage, every family relationship that is broken, you want to know why it's broken? Pride. Pride. Marriages are broken because of pride. No one wants to say, I'm wrong. I don't even care if you are wrong. Say, I'm wrong. I don't know how to make the... Yep, you heard what Randy said. He said, you're wrong. That's a great depiction of our relationship, folks. And what I'm telling you is, I'm not saying, I'm not wrong, you are. You got to accept responsibility. What I'm saying is, God's hands are locked when two people are like that. But the second one looks at the other and says, baby, I'm wrong. I don't know where at. I don't know how to fix this. But I want to let God in our relationship. The handcuff is unlocked. Now God has one hand free that he can move and he can work. But until someone lays down, until someone lays their pride down, until someone lays down their old selfish nature and their old self and says, today I'm choosing to put on who Christ is in my marriage, who Christ is in my family relationship that is broke, until someone believes that God is bigger, nothing will change. I'm telling you, it will change. It'll get worse and worse and worse and worse until there's nothing left of that relationship and you believe that it's unredeemable. Guys, church, don't let it go that far that you would be a hardened heart, because that hardness is not for the relationship. It's not just for the marriage. It's not just for your friendships. It's not just for your boss. It's after your heart, after God. Because if that heart can be hardened, and you can live in that old identity long enough, you'll begin to doubt who you are in Christ and what he's done for you at Calvary. This is a done deal. It's already been done. It's already sealed. But you must walk in it. And I want to be honest with you. There's days I don't want to remember who I am in Christ. I want to remember who I am. And I want to let you know who I am. But God's like, no, that's not who you are. That's not, because now your life is founded in me. And because of that, I govern your actions. I govern who you are. Turn with me to James 1:22. James 1:22 through 25. It says, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey it, it's like glancing at your face or your image in the mirror. You see yourself, you walk away, and then forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you've heard, then God will bless you for doing it. When you and I look at the word accompanied by the Holy Spirit, Christ's identity, your true identity, is then revealed to you. Why? Because you're looking at the perfect law. The perfect law is Christ. Christ was the only perfect one. That's what he did. He came, he lived a perfect, blameless, sinless life that he could pay you and I's debt. But even in the way our image looks, he's what we're to look at. Some of us are looking through a broken glass. Some of us are looking at the mirror and it's broken and it's distorted. And when you look at it, you're like, oh my gosh, really? Is that who I am? Yes. Yes. That's who you were. It's not who you are. But by faith, you must believe that and you must walk in that and receive it to its fullness. But if you don't have the word to tell you what you are, there's no reflection. The word with the work of the Holy Spirit is what teaches you and I what is the correct image. I know you hear this all the time. If you don't read the word, it's one thing for me to chew it up and spit it out to you, but there comes a certain point that you grow up from being a child. You grow up from being a baby and you start to grow and read the word on your own. And when you do, it becomes alive. And it begins to be your sustenance. And what you hear is that your life spiritually is not just going through what your pastors are teaching from the forefront, but on the side, you're working through some other things. Why? Because God's taking you somewhere. He's taking you from glory to glory. And there's a corporate move, but there's a personal move. There's a personal move. And there's struggles in your life that are not my struggles. Your identity might not be my identity struggle, though we all have an identity struggle. We have to grab onto God's word and let it transform and renew the way we think about ourselves every single day. Let's go to Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20. It says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. Someone say that. Say, I no longer live.
I no longer live.
Whew, that's a hard one. That's a hard one. Because you know, have you ever seen roadkill on the road, and you like drive by it, and you're like, oh, that's dead. That's dead. Well, my worship leader years ago said, Nikki, you know, I got to tell you, I don't think you're really dead. And I said, what do you mean? He said, because when you poke flesh, it doesn't move. I said, what are you talking about? He said, well, when people poke you, you move. Here's what I'll let you know. If you've really died, then let your spouse poke you. Oh, they know how to poke you. They know exactly what to say. I will tell you, all I have to do is look at Randy and say, you are like your father. Oh. And them are fighting words. See, I'm in public. We can't fight right now. And all he has to do to me is say, okay, Phyllis. And it's on. You might as well put a fighting rink in the middle of our living room. I'm not my mother. I'm not my father. I can't believe you'd say that. You know it. You all have it. And it's probably one of the same ones as when your spouse looks at you and says you're one of your parents. My point is, if you're truly crucified, test it. Put yourself in the situation that you couldn't succeed in before. Put yourself in a situation where you know if you show up to dinner, the only thing they're going to be talking about is politics. And you know you have your own thoughts about politics. Put yourself there and test the amount of self-control that you have. How much love do you have one for another when they can't see your side? How can they be so blind? I don't understand. I choose not to go in those situations so I don't even have to try to succeed. However, test it. Are you really crucified with Christ? The life I now live in, the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me. If it's really dead, then it's not going to bark. And Christ in you is going to be your response. Do we agree? If our identity is renewed, it will respond correctly. Your old sinful self, your insecure self, your lie-lipped, your drunkenness, your adulterous self, it's all crucified and been laid to rest at the cross with Christ. But when he's resurrected, we're made new, you and I. That's the truth of who it is. The true God gave us an identity. And when you and I heard the truth and learned the truth, we accepted Christ and began to walk in that truth. Is that not right? Let's go to Colossians, the second chapter. And I'm going to ask for my helper to come up and grab a seat. It says, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in your lives, in him, root, oh wait, I'm in the NIV. Let me go to the NLT. Sorry, I told them a different one. And now, just as you accepted Christ as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow deep down, grow down into him, into Christ, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong, and the truth that you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness and thankfulness. Don't let anyone capture you. Don't let anyone take your freedom and put you somewhere and make you bound. Don't let anyone tie up your identity. Don't let anyone tell you something different than what Christ tells you. Amen. With empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that came from human thinking and from spiritual powers. That means your parents can tell you you're not worth it. Your boss can tell you you're not worth it. The devil can tell you that you're not worth it. But God doesn't think that. Rather than from Christ. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in the human body. So you are also complete through your union with Christ. You may look broken. You may act like some days that you're not the new person, but I'm telling you that if you believe by faith in what Christ Jesus has done for you, you cannot lose. And you gotta keep getting back up. And you gotta keep showing up to do the hard things. You gotta keep reading the word. You gotta keep renewing your mind. And when you do, your identity will begin to come to its fullness. When you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not by a physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, a cutting away of your sinful nature. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and when with him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised him from the dead. You were dead because of your sin, but because your sinful nature was not cut away yet, then God made you alive and forgave your sin. Whew. He canceled the record. He took away my identity and the charges that came with it by nailing it to the cross. Lincoln, come up here, buddy. This is my boy Lincoln, my middle child. Say hi, Lincoln. Isn't he handsome? Okay, scoot back here. Scoot back here, right there. See, this is why I got Lincoln, because I needed to be able to touch him. Promiscuous. This is what the world has told you that you are. Maybe your parents told you this. Maybe as a young child, your mother said, oh my gosh, you're so promiscuous. It's a label. It's a name. This is who it is. Maybe you've dealt with anxiety and you live in anxious thoughts day and night. You can't even go to work without anxiety taking you over, and there might be a panic attack and you might have to walk out of work because you don't know how to deal with the anxiety. Maybe you're a felon and you've got a criminal background and you can't outlive the nature of what people think and what they see about you, because it doesn't matter where I go, I'm always gonna be a record. Maybe you're an alcoholic. Maybe you drink because it soothes the pain. Maybe you drink because that's the way you cope. And then in that coping, you found out that you didn't want to be an alcoholic, but now you don't know how to get free of it. That's not who you are. You are a new creation in Christ. And he says old things are passed away and all things have become new. Maybe you're a liar. Started out with white lies, but now you have lying lips. And before you know it, you're lying because you actually care about what people think about you. And you don't want them to think anything bad, so you just cover up and make everything bigger and better than it really is. Here's a good one. Maybe you're divorced. You didn't want the divorce. You may not even be the reason for the divorce, but everyone that looks at you thinks you're divorced. At least that's what you think. When you look at someone divorced, do you see divorced? Or do you see blood bought? Do you see that who they are and what's happened to them is not who they are? Because I'm going to tell you, there's some sins in this world that are easy to overlook. And there's sins in this world that are not so easy to overlook. Because when you see it, you think they're responsible for it. What about unworthy? You feel unworthy. You wake up and you just feel unworthy. You don't know why. It's just there. Why? It's an insecurity. It's a crack in the mirror of God. You have to go fix it. You got to find every scripture in the Bible that says you are worthy. And then you got to begin to read it and believe it and walk in it. And the second someone tries to make you feel unworthy and you're walking around like this, you got to lift your head up high and you got to act like Christ. And you got to act worthy. Why? Because that is the choice of faith in your life. You cannot just leave it up to happenstance. You must accept it. Prideful. Oh, don't even. I save the best for last, because there's not one of us in here that does not have an element of pridefulness in our life. It may be that you're prideful with your motherhood and that you're the best mother that ever existed. Well, I'm going to tell you what. One of those kids are going to bring you a little bit of shame in your life. And when they do, you're going to remember that it wasn't about your motherhood. It was about the choices of your children, and that you can raise them and you can lead them in the way that they should go. But they're going to make an adult choice. And when they do, it is not a portrait of your motherhood. It is not a portrait of your wrong or right. It is a portrait of a lustful desire in your child that chose outside of the lines of God. You can't live in that prideful place, because it will bring you down. And you'll be fighting the rest of your life to get acceptance through your motherhood. Life is more than motherhood. Life is about being a daughter or a son of God. And that is the most identity that we have. In Colossians, the third chapter, the first verse, it says, "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above and not on earthly things. For you died. For you died, and your life is now hidden in Christ." Look at that. Can't even tell that young person was promiscuous. Can't even tell. Are you taking that personal, Lincoln? Because you're laughing. Do you see? He's got to put on his new identity. Look, honey, you're not a liar. You're in Christ. Listen, your life is now hidden in Christ. One scripture says that it cut away what it was. It cut it away and it put in Christ. Another version says that he put on Christ. He put it on, and because he put on hot Christ, look, the identity of who he was is hidden. Not hidden from, not hidden as a secret, but hidden in Christ. He is now hidden. His anxiety is not his anxiety. It's in Christ. Therefore, he doesn't worry. He casts his care upon Jesus. As far as the east is to the west, he doesn't reel it back in. He believes that Christ is his proportion. Amen. No longer labeled with divorce. No longer labeled. Oh, I had all my, oh, unworthy. No longer. Why? Because Christ is now that new identity. Remember, I asked you at the beginning, who am I? Lincoln, who are you?
Child of God.
Woo! He said, I am a child of God. That's a good answer. I didn't prime him for that, by the way. I just asked him if he'd come help me. He said he would. Thank you, Lincoln. Church, there is no longer the opportunity for you to live in who you were. If we believe it and we receive it, now we have to walk in it. So if you would, stand to your feet this morning. I don't have to do an invitation to know the Lord because we already did that during the service. But I feel like that if the prayer team would come down this morning, because I feel like that there might be some people that God is already speaking to about who you say you are. And if he hasn't spoke to you and hasn't revealed it yet, I don't want you to come down for just a prayer. I want you to be able to know exactly what it is that the devil is telling you you are not. I want to know exactly what it is that your parents said you were, so that by the Spirit we can call forth who you are. I'm not just looking for a mass exodus of prayer. That's not what it is. I want to truly deal for the identity struggle that is present in our lives today. We're continuing next week, so there's going to be another prayer next week. That's why I'm telling you, let it work. Let it work. I want you to find out where you truly rest in that identity. I was at a family counselor one time, and every time I talked about my parents, sorry, Mom, you got to hear about this publicly. Every time I brought up my family, my parents, it's the only family, I'm an only child. She said, why is it that you cry when you talk about your mom and dad? And I said, I don't know. I just do. She said, do you feel like you've displeased them? I don't know. No, I think I'm a good kid. Like, I don't know. She said, are you striving or thriving to please them? I said, well, yeah. And she said, well, why? I said, because see, they run a church. And in the church, whether we like it or not, and they've never told me this, but I feel like this. The customer's always right. And that I'm always wrong. And that for the sake of the customer, I have to become what they want me to be. She said, oh, honey, your identity's in the wrong source. She said, see, your identity is in the people that attend your church and what they think of you. She said, your identity is in pleasing your parents when your identity should be in pleasing God. And if God is not unhappy with you, then who cares what they think? Took me a long time to reconcile that. And I love that you show up every week. I love that you love God. But you know what? I don't care if I make you happy anymore. And that's not that I don't love you. And that's not that I don't respect you. And that's not that I don't give you honor. But I don't deny that I have an old self that wants to please people. But I live in agreement with the Word of God that says, no, 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 no. You work for me. I'm your purpose. I'm your plan. I'm the one who leads you. My opinion is what matters. And everything in that Bible is true. And when you don't do what I've asked, then we got a problem. But when I leave this service, I'll know that I emptied it all out. Even though I called out a Roger that didn't come forth. What I know is that I know I heard the voice of God. One of you know a Roger. Roger might be looking on YouTube next week. Roger might hear it on Facebook and then put a message in the chat and say, this is me. I don't know. What I know is I laid it all on the line today for one and for one alone. And that was Christ, to do what he's asked me to do. You have to ask him who you are. And you have to realize that there's an identity knocking that's meant to hang you up for the rest of your life. Because if the devil can grab your identity, you'll never possess what God's got for you. See, if I'd allowed your opinions to matter, when Dad would have died after the first 10 hate letters, well, I'm sorry, that was an exaggeration. We did not get 10 hate letters. We wouldn't be here. But what God chooses and places, no man can remove. But what man gives you the placement of, then man can take it away. Church, you have to find the struggle in your identity because God wants to fix it. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you. Father, like so many years ago, Father, you revealed my struggle. God, you're still revealing struggles, but in different places. Father, I'm asking you that the Holy Spirit, the knower of all things, the teacher of all things, would begin to deposit into the heart of every believer here the struggle, the place in their identity that's cracked, the place where who they're meant to be is broken because of something that's happened, whether it's something that someone said, something they've done, something that's been done to them. Father, right now we just ask that you begin to move in that area. And Father, over the next week, speak to them clearly, God, that they would know. And God, we're going to pray with them in Jesus' name. Now, Father, we just thank you for this time we've had together. We thank you, God, for the rededications that happened today. We thank you for the Spirit of the Lord moving in this house. Father, we thank you that you would be with us. But God, we ask that we would be able to walk in this identity with boldness this week. Boldness as we share our testimony with someone. Someone, God, that intentionality wins out. That God, you said, great is the harvest, but the workers are few. God, that we would not forget your main purpose for our life. That we would not forget to share. That we would not forget to tell of the goodness of God and the gift you've gave to us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. And church, if you know what that identity is today that you're struggling with, then the prayer team is here. If there's sickness in your body, we want to pray. If there's loss, whatever it might be, we are here to pray the prayer of faith over your life. Until then, we'll see you on Wednesday night. Love you all.